All right, we're going to be in Exodus chapter 20 really quick to start with. Some things this morning are going to cross over a little bit, and that wasn't intentional. This isn't something I would normally speak about, but God's been talking to me about it, and so when God talks to me about something, I talk to you guys about it. That's how it works. So Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to read the first three verses, and it says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for this day that you've given us, that we can be here tonight, fellowship with each other, Lord, and worship you. Thank you, Lord, that you are a strong God that we can trust in. Lord, I pray you just help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight I want to talk a little bit about that commandment, the first commandment there, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And this morning we talked a little bit about the God that we have that can be self-will, that can be the things that I want to do. God's been talking to me about the idols of the things that I desire, the things that I want. And so we're going to go to Romans chapter 16. And we're going to be skipping around a little bit, so keep your fingers warmed up. Romans chapter 16. And verse 17 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." So tonight, this week or so, God's been talking to me about gluttony. And you guys are smiling already because I am skinny, but just because I'm skinny doesn't mean I'm not a glutton. If you think that, you have not seen me in a donut shop. There's a donut shop down in Melbourne that when Abby lived there, we would go to, and it was 24 hours a day. And it had 40 different types of donuts, and I think we tried most of them. My favorite was this pistachio one that I would still kill people for. But I have a problem with things that I want to eat, with gluttony. So the question we want to think about tonight is, what do we value highly? What do we value higher than our relationship with God? And for people in this day and age, sometimes the answer is food. The answer, if you look at today's statistics, people getting bigger and bigger and lifespans continuing, so people have more time to get bigger and bigger. There's a big problem in the world today with obesity and with people being so greedy, they can just eat whatever they want. There's cartoons of people that are so fat they have to have like hover chairs to take them everywhere. That's not in the too distant future anymore because of gluttony, because of the greed that we have. And even things that we need can become an idol. I'm not saying cut out food. There are some things that are idols that we need to cut completely out, get rid of. Food cannot be one of those things, but it can be something that we don't worship. And I think there's a culture in our society of worshiping food. I think gluttony, I looked it up on the internet today, and someone had a comment that said, gluttony is the most tolerated idolatry in the world. It's accepted. It's accepted that people are going to eat more than they should, and that they're going to want to go back when they really shouldn't. Especially in our culture, it's a culture of get as much as you can for yourself. And the plates are getting bigger, and the airplane seats are getting bigger, because people can't control themselves, because people have something that's more important to them than God is, than their relationship with God. And for some people, that is what they put in their mouth. Gob is slang. I heard a comedian say once, when it comes to festive times of year, the meal is not over when I'm full. The meal is over when I hate myself. And that's almost the attitude that people have. I am not going to leave this table until I regret ever coming to this table. And we're going to look at some things that gluttony leads to. But I want us to think before we even get there about our mindset. When we look at the Ten Commandments, and we've been going through them, there are some things that stick out when we say, thou shalt have no other gods. There are some things that you just know. That can be a god in my life. But some things slip under the radar. And this is one of them. This is something that is so accepted. And because it's something we have to do, it doesn't seem to matter to us how much we do it. And we need to keep an eye on that. Now, if we go to, let's go to Philippians 3, and we're going to look at a couple of verses here. Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 17. And it says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." So some people don't have an idol that they put on a shelf. It's not in their pocket. It's actually a part of them. These people's God is their belly. And as you can tell, some people have bigger gods in their belly than other people have big gods in their little gods in their belly. But what these people are doing in these verses are worshipping their desires. They're not controlled by anything except what they want. If they're hungry for something, they're going to eat that thing until they hate it. It's an attitude that in the ancient world, when we think about the Romans had special rooms for their feasts that was just for throwing up in. And they would eat and they would eat and they would eat. And then they would go to the special room with feathers and tickle their tonsils till they threw it all up. And then they would go back and start all over again. Now, we think that obesity is a new problem, and it is. It's not. It's just they vomited it out. We just keep swallowing it. So where did it come from? Where did this problem start? Well, where most things started. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to read a few verses here. In verse 1, Genesis 3 and verse 1. Says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Verse 6 is what we want to think about. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." So did Eve have a problem where she was hungry all the time? Did she have nothing else to eat in the garden? She even says it herself, "I can eat everything in this garden, except for that one tree." There's a country music song that says, "We all want what we ain't got." And it's a bit like that with our desires as well. When someone says, "You can't have it," that's pretty much all I want from that moment on. It's like Pastor says, when there's a sign that says, "Don't spit on the grass," I never wanted to spit on the grass until I saw that sign. And now my mouth is just full of saliva. It's going to go somewhere. He doesn't say that, but that was me. Sorry. But Eve desired more. And all of a sudden, she had a desire above her desire to worship God. She knew the rules. She knew that God said, "You can have everything that you want except for this one tree." And she had something. Maybe it looked amazing. Maybe it smelled amazing. But all of a sudden, she had a desire, an idol that was more powerful to her than God, that was more desirable. She didn't, in this moment, she didn't think about God. And that's what an idol is, when something comes between you and God. And at this moment, this fruit on this tree was Eve's idol. And it kind of caused the downfall of the whole human race. It kind of started right there at the beginning with Eve. And it literally affected everybody. If you're here today and you're a human being, then this affects you. We all were born with a sin nature because these six verses happened. Now, the things we worship affect those around us. Do you notice that Eve wasn't the only one that got in trouble? Eve got Adam involved. And from that moment on, all the rest of us, for the rest of history, are going to be affected. Now, when we worship things today, we might be able to think that it doesn't affect anybody else. But there's not much we can do in this world that doesn't affect anybody else. When I was talking to the Sunday school kids this morning about Daniel, Daniel had a positive effect on his friends. He had a conscious decision that he was not going to defile himself. And we see here Eve had the opposite effect. She had a negative influence on the people around her. Luckily, there was only one people around her at that stage. But nobody likes worshiping alone. And if you're worshiping the wrong thing, you're going to want other people to come with you. That's what cults are. Someone has a crazy idea in a dream, you want other people to follow it as well. And that's how it starts. Now, when we worship food, it happens the same. You take pictures of it and you go, look at what I ate. Now, some people do that. My favorite things to watch on YouTube are the videos where someone's about to take a picture of the food and the person on the other side of the table goes with a fork and just stirs it all up. And they send it back sometimes because it's such an idol to them. They need to show everybody else what they're eating. And it's a worship of the food. It's a worship of something that really, really, really should just be fuel. We worship it way, way too much. And so we see in these verses, Satan says to Eve, eat more than you should. You should eat all this stuff, but you know what? Eat a little bit more. Just a little bit. Just this one fruit more. So we see that it comes from the very beginning. It comes from Satan. This is a lie Satan told Eve. You need more than what you have. You need to eat more than what you actually can eat. And then we're going to look at where does it end up. So let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, just a couple of books further along, in chapter 21. So this is the law. This is what they were told to do. And in verse 19, actually, let's go to verse 18. It says, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, if you go through that list there, he is stubborn and rebellious. He's not obedient to his parents. He's a glutton and he's a drunkard. All those things are together. So when someone's a glutton, they're going to have more tendencies toward these other things, towards stubbornness, rebellion, not listening to their parents. And it's actually surprising how many times the Bible links gluttony and drunkenness in the Bible. We'll look at a couple more verses in a minute. But what we want to see here is, what does it end up with? If someone's a glutton in ancient Israel, the law is that they should die. We think about the death penalty for murders and things like that. Well, this guy ate too much. And he sounds like a pretty regular teenager at the moment. If you look at these verses, he's rebellious, he drinks too much, he's a glutton, he doesn't listen to his parents, and he's stubborn. Now, if that was still a law in Australia today, I don't think many of us would be alive. Pretty sure most of us would have been stoned to death at one stage or another. But we see gluttony here linked with something that is so dangerous, you should kill him. Get it out of the system. And it says in verse 21, all Israel shall hear and fear. God doesn't want anything to do with people who are gluttonous. Now, gluttony and the worship of food leads to, let's go to a couple different verses here. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. We've got a couple of verses real quick together. So if you want, just listen, you can. But if you want to check what I'm saying, you probably should chase it up. Luke chapter 12. Okay. And this is a story of the bigger barn builder. So this guy, let's go to verse 16. It says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be, which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So we see the gluttony leads to greed. All this guy had to do was share the food around. He didn't have to build a bigger barn. Have you heard the saying, when God blesses you, don't build a bigger wall, build a longer table? And this is the opposite. This guy built a big barn. Barns don't just keep things in, they keep people out. He was definitely not trying to share all of his wealth here. So we see that gluttony can lead to greed. And then if we go to Ezekiel is near Daniel in the Old Testament, chapter 16. And verse 49 says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. So in this verse, we see that gluttony and greediness of food leads to selfishness. It says here in verse 49, fullness of bread and abundance of idleness. So once again, we see that these two things are linked, laziness and eating too much, or laziness and having too much food. And then we'll go to, this is when we'll stay a bit longer, in as Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, I love Proverbs because there's all these little pithy sayings that you get stuck in your head and you think about them and you think about them. And verse 2 is one of those for me. But we'll start in verse 1. It says, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. And then verse 2 says, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. So it's a little bit of a warning there as well. Once again, if you eat too much, maybe have a knife to your throat. I don't know how easy it is to eat with a knife to your throat, but I think it would be a bit harder. When they used to, in ancient China, they would teach the some birds, I forget, was it cormorants or something like that, to catch fish. But they would have a ring around the throat of the bird so they couldn't actually swallow anything. So they could catch the fish, but they couldn't swallow them. And this gives me the same idea. Be really careful what you eat. Just, you know, really, really take it easy. And if we go to verses 20, it says, be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. So there's a whole list of things in these two verses. Gluttony leads to drunkenness. It talks about winebibbers. It talks about the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. Once again, these two things are linked. It's almost as if the people who are wanting to eat more are the ones more susceptible to drinking more as well. They have no self-control. We see also at the end of verse 21, shall clothe a man with rags. So we see poverty. We see that it's laziness, it's poverty. And it's such an easy thing to do in our culture is just to relax when it comes to food. Before I married Abby, my diet wasn't the best it could have been. We'll just leave it at that. And sometimes when Simi would stay over on a Friday night or on a Saturday night, we'd wake up in the morning and be like, I don't want to cook anything. What is there to eat that's really, really easy? And it would be cereal or something like that. And we would eat cereal and we would watch the Food Network on TV. And we'd watch people making Mexican food and making like amazing roasts of something or other or pizzas. And we'd get so hungry that finally we'd be like, we need to go buy food. And it was, once again, it was a laziness on our part that kind of led to the gluttony. We could have been happy with the cereal, and we should have been happy with the cereal. And Simi never ate the bad food. Now I'm looking at Auntie Jo, I'm realizing what I'm saying out loud. It was really healthy cereal. It was diet milk and everything. It's almost the easiest thing in our culture to worship food. Every time someone comes to lunch at work, you go, what have you got? And they pull out what they've got. Or they say, I'm going to this place. I'm going to McDonald's or Subway or something like that. And they want to talk about the food. And God's been talking to me about this and going, just be careful you're not worshiping what you're eating. Just be really careful that you're just eating it to serve me. Because that's what really we need to be doing. The energy we take into our bodies is for a reason. And the reason really should be to worship God and to spread the news that he died on the cross and came back to life. So, how do we stop worshiping food? Okay, let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, which is in my Bible somewhere. There it is. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 is the one that came to my mind straight away when I thought about how do we stop worshiping food? How do we stop worshiping things that we desire? And chapter 6 and verse 6 of 1 Timothy says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So we've got two things there. This is the key. We've got godliness and we've got contentment. Contentment really is something that we struggle with in this day and age because of the advertising that we see. Because you drive down the road and there's six signs on the side telling me I need a new mobile phone plan or that my car is getting old, which it is, but I don't need the sign to tell me that. Or that the next town, KFC, is just 10 minutes away. And I know that because there's a sign that's telling me. All of those things don't make me any more content. They make me discontent with what I have. And that's what ads are all about. They're to make you think, I don't have what I need. I don't have what I want. And that's why in the Christmas holidays on TV, they play a lot more toy ads, if you notice that. All of a sudden, near Christmas, every new Lego thing is on the news. And there's a special kind of Play-Doh that glows in the dark. And if you eat it, it's not bad for you. And all of a sudden, no Play-Doh is bad for you. You can eat it all. Don't eat it all. I'm sorry. But these things make us discontent with our lives. It makes us discontent with what we're wearing, with what we're eating, with what we're driving, where we're living. All of these things are Satan's way of saying to us, you need more than what you have when it comes to food or anything else. So contentment really is the key. If we go to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 1, says, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. And I've found this to be true. I'm very happy eating something rubbish in a calm, content environment than I am having a five-star meal when everyone's yelling. It's much better to be at home with Abby and it's just quiet and I'm content with whatever she gives me. She doesn't feed me dry morsels. She feeds me good food. I'm just going to put that out there. But this verse is telling us about the wrong view we have of food. It says it's not about the food. A dry morsel, it's going to give you the energy that you need. There's nothing fancy about it, but you have contentment. It's much better than having a house full of sacrifices, but all the strife in the world and discontentment, because that's what that leads to. Contentment really is the key. Now, when I think about contentment, I think about Psalm 23. Let's go to Psalm 23 because I feel like David was probably at his most content. I feel like this is the most content a guy can get. And David, we're going to read it because it's not very long. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Straight away, David puts us in two minds about his frame of mind. The Lord is looking after me. I don't need to want things. I don't need to worry about things. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We see David here. It almost seems like he didn't have a care in the world. But when you look at what he's talking about, he talks about the valley of the shadow of death. It kind of sounds like he had problems going on in his life. There were things that would have been better different ways. But David says, even if I'm walking through that, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they come for me. And then in verse 5, it even talks a little bit about food. It says, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Once again, we see that the food doesn't seem to be the main thing here. It's the presence of his enemies. It's where he is. And even here, he has contentment. He says, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And verse 6, I almost imagine him sitting at the table and in the presence of his enemies. He's sitting at this table and all of his enemies are looking at him. And you know, they just want to poison his drink or they want to throw a spear at him like Saul did. And David can say to himself there in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I love this passage because it says to us that God will meet all of our needs. When we think about food, we think, I need it. I need it now. Food is great. It sustains me. Yes, but God will meet all our needs. We don't have to stuff ourselves every time we sit down. And of course we have to eat, but let's make sure we don't worship it. The root of gluttony is dissatisfaction. But when we look at David, when we look at people in the Bible, Jesus satisfies. And if we have Jesus, the dissatisfaction that we have in the things of the world, in our food, in our clothes, in the place that we live, in the job that we have, Jesus should satisfy us. Jesus should fill all the other dissatisfaction levels. And we should be able to say like David, If you're walking in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, I have a problem with dissatisfaction because sometimes at work I think I could be doing a much better job somewhere else. I could be getting much more money somewhere else. People would appreciate me more somewhere else. And once again, this is a problem that can become idolatry of my desires. God's put me in a place. And just like food, God's given me what I need. God's given me exactly what I need to do what he wants me to do. And he will look after me, like it says in Psalm 23. And if we look in Proverbs, Solomon talks so much about it. We won't go there tonight. But Solomon talks so much about God looking after him and looking after all the flowers in the fields. And he's definitely going to look after us. So God's been talking to me this week, and probably for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and telling me not to worry so much about what I eat. Because when I'm at work, that's the only thing I think about, because I don't want to think about work. I'm thinking about what's my next meal, when's smoko, when's lunch. And normally it's whenever I'm driving, so I can do it a lot. But my problem that God's been talking to me about is I want all the fancy food that's going past in the restaurants. I want the McDonald's as I'm driving between jobs. And God's been saying to me, McDonald's. And it's not always McDonald's. There's other things. If McDonald's listens to this, I don't hate McDonald's. But it's so convenient, and it's an easy thing to worship. It's an easy thing to put above my walk with God, thinking about what am I going to eat. And so God's just been trying to, I think, just get through to me. Get your priorities straight. Not just with food, but this is what he's been pricking me about this week. When he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, I want to make sure that nothing is before God. That means food, and that means my job. God comes first. And if God comes first, everything else seems to fall in line. I've been talking to Abby about it because, as well as eating the wrong things, it wastes so much money. I've been wasting so much money on this, and that's what God's been talking to me about. He's saying, be content with what you have. Save your money. Don't be an idiot. And I'm getting there, but when God's been talking to me, he's been saying, other people need to hear this too, and I don't think I've ever heard anyone talk to anybody in church about gluttony. It's because it's such a tolerated thing. And we don't have a problem with it really in this church that I know of, but I know the world in general has a problem with it. And people take notice when you're different than them. And the world is gluttonous. So the less gluttonous we are, the less like the world we are, the more they're going to notice. And that's what we want. We want people to notice the difference in our lives, not so that they can see us, but that they can see Jesus in us. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He didn't say, I am the roast pork of life. He didn't say, oh, pork's not a good thing in Israel, but he didn't say, I am the falafel of life. He said, I'm the bread. He didn't say something fancy. This is simple. This is going to keep you alive. Jesus is the bread of life. And sometimes we get so caught up with the fancy things, we forget the basics. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this time again. Lord, please help us now to be remembering the things we've heard. Lord, please be speaking to people. Lord, if there's anything that I've said that's not accurate or right, Lord, I pray you just bring it to nothing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.